I'd like you to turn with me this morning to John's Gospel, chapter 18. While you're turning, I'll take a moment to bring you up to date on the news from Belfast with regard to my mother. Physically, she's doing a little better. She's much worse with regard to her Alzheimer's. It was a very hard experience this morning to know that she was holding the phone, not knowing what to do. My sister kept telling her, "Joe is on the phone. Talk to him." But she would talk to her, but not to me. I thank you for your prayers, and I would ask you to continue to pray, but I'm just glad she knows the Lord, and when the end comes, it'll be the beginning of eternity with Christ. But thank you for your prayers. John 18, and we're going to read a fairly long reading this morning, but I want to do justice to the subject that the Lord has laid on my heart. So we're going to read from verse 28 of John 18, and we're going to read through to verse 22 of John 19. Verse 28 of John 18 says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor or an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Our Father, we have just sung the words, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Father, we pray that in this time of looking into Your Word, our eyes might be turned upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we who love Him and know Him, that we may be drawn to stand for Him in this an evil day. Father, if there are those in this meeting today who do not know Him, we pray that today by Your Spirit You would convince them of their need of Christ, that even today they might come to Him and trust Him as their Savior. So bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'm going to speak to you about a man who I think has been misrepresented by writers and by preachers. This evening I'm going to speak to you about another man who's been misrepresented. This morning is Pilate. This evening is Peter. Why do I say that Pilate was misrepresented? I believe that Pilate, face to face with Jesus, wanted in his heart to do the right thing. I believe he wanted to exonerate Jesus and to set him free. You and I have read together that that didn't take place because his intentions were overweighed or overshadowed by circumstances. Now, the reason I say that to you this morning is that I have met many people in my life who are just like Pilate. When you talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, when you present to them the claims of Christ, they give you every indication that they want to do the right thing. They have no desire to treat Jesus wrongly. But there have been many that I have spoken to and continued to speak to, and the circumstances of life, instead of treating Jesus as he ought to be treated, the circumstances of life, the pressures of life, have kept them doing what Pilate did, and making the wrong decisions for the wrong reasons. What I want to do this morning is to look at some of the questions that Pilate asked, and look at some of the statements that Pilate made, and try and build up a picture of exactly how he viewed Jesus. Now, you and I have just been singing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face." Well, Pilate looked into that face. He stood face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to suggest to you this morning that it is face to face with Jesus that Pilate makes his wrong decisions. The first question I want you to look at with me is in verse 29. The Jews come, they bring Jesus. He's been arrested in the garden. He's been to Caiaphas, and they bring him to Pilate. And the first thing Pilate does is begin to gather the facts. I know many people who have approached the subject of Jesus by telling me that they need to gather all the facts. But you know, it never helps them as it didn't help Pilate in the decisions that he made. But he comes out of the judgment hall, and I want you to notice the hypocrisy. They send Jesus, about whom Pilate will say, "I find no fault in him." They send him into the judgment hall, but the Jews won't go into the judgment hall, because if they went into the judgment hall, the place where sinners stand, they would have been defiled. The first thing you see is that these religious people put themselves above Jesus. But Pilate comes out to them and he says, "Look, you've brought this man to me. What is your accusation?" It's amazing, isn't it, human logic, that the leaders of the Jewish nation can look at Pilate and say to him, "Why do you need to ask that question? If he wasn't an evildoer, we wouldn't have brought him to you." You know, it's amazing how many people think that the best way to understand the message of Jesus is by human logic. And if you read and listen carefully to this account of Pilate, you'll find that human logic doesn't help at all. But Pilate comes to them again. And he says to them, "Look, if you know that he's an evildoer, why do you bring him to me? Why don't you take him and judge him by your law? Why have I got to be involved?" This is one of the great confessions of the Jewish leaders. As they answer Pilate's question, listen to what they say. "The Jews therefore said unto him, 'It is not lawful for us to put any man to death.'" Pilate, no matter what you think now, no matter what you think at the end of all of this, our outcome is that Jesus has to die. We would look after it ourselves, but by our law we can't put him to death. Pilate comes back into the judgment hall, and he comes face to face with Jesus, and he says to Jesus in verse 33, it's recorded for us, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" You know, that's an amazing question. And it's a question that later would become part of Pilate's trouble. "Art thou the King of the Jews?" In verse 37, he says, speaking to Jesus, "Art thou a king?" It's almost as if the repetition of the question, he's trying to get to the bottom. He's trying to ascertain the facts. He's trying to make a right decision. Jesus, of course, when he says, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus looks at Pilate and he says, "Are you asking this, or is this something that someone has told you?" When he asked Jesus, "Art thou a king?" He says, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." And Pilate looks into the face of Jesus and he asks a question that has often been asked: what is truth? Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" I talked to a young man before the meeting. We were talking about my message, and he asked that question. He said that, quoted that question, "What is truth?" And he said, "When people say that to me, I always say to them, be very careful, because the person who asked that question ended up crucifying Jesus." See, you'll find out later that Pilate wasn't really sincere when he asked about knowing the truth. And there are lots of people today in the world in which we live, and there is within their heart a knowledge that somewhere, sometime, they have to come face to face with Jesus. Somewhere, sometime in their lives, they have to make a decision about who Jesus really is and why Jesus really came. But in their heart, there really is this feeling, "I don't know the truth, and I don't want to know the truth now." Now is not a convenient time. Probably the greatest question that Pilate ever asked is recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew, when he brings Jesus out to the Jewish nation again. And he looks at them and he says, "Whom shall I release unto you, Jesus or Barabbas?" We know, of course, that they chose Barabbas. And Pilate, looking at this mob, looking at this crowd of religious people, he says this: "What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" What is my decision concerning Christ? Well, you know, when you look at some of the statements that Pilate made, the decision should have been an easy one. And remember, I said at the beginning that I believe he wanted to do the right thing. I believe he wanted to make the right judgment. But I believe also that the pressures round about him made him do the wrong thing. In verse 5, having allowed his soldiers to make a crown of thorns and to place it on the head of Jesus, mocking his claim to be king, having taken from him his own robes and put on a purple robe, having taken their hands and smote him, Pilate brings him out onto the judgment platform and he turns to the Jewish people and he says, "Behold the man. Behold the man." You know, there are a lot of people today who don't believe that Jesus really existed. They think that this is all a fictional character from the Bible. But if you go into Jewish history and if you read Josephus, the Jewish historian in particular, he will tell you that Pilate brought Jesus out into the judgment place And he looked at the Jewish leaders, and Josephus quotes the words, "Behold the man." You know what that means? That means you've got to answer the Bible question, because history confirms that it was asked. You can't just dismiss Jesus as a Bible character who was not really important, who never really existed, about whom we don't know very much, because Jewish history tells us that he was presented to the nation of Israel as a man. I want you to stop for a moment and imagine what he must have looked like with that crown of thorns pushed down into his lovely head. With that purple robe and Roman soldiers mocking his claim to be king. And Pilate, in verse 6, to me, a total contradiction of what has just happened. Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." That means the crown of thorns to Pilate was an act of convenience to try and change the mind of the crowd as to what they would do with Jesus. But you know, they'd already determined what they would do with Jesus. Pilate, after he had put the crown of thorns on, after they had beaten him with their fists, stands before the leaders of the Jewish nation and says, "He still hasn't done anything wrong. I don't find any fault in him." Tell me, do you agree with Pilate's judgment of Jesus? Not only that he is a man, but that he is a man without fault. See, the writer of the Hebrews writes that he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. The writer of the Hebrews, looking back at the death of Jesus, he writes, "Sinless, spotless, holy, harmless, undefiled." Pilate didn't use all those words. He just said, "I find no fault in him." And Pilate comes back in again into the room with Jesus, and he begins to talk to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't answer him. And this is one of the most amazing statements that ever came out of the lips of any man. He turns to Jesus in John 19:10, and Pilate looks at him and he says, "Are you not going to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power over you? I have power to crucify you, and I have power to release you." Isn't that what every man dreams of? A Jesus that they have power over, that they can make to fit what they want, and to teach what they want, and to do what they want. And Jesus speaks to Pilate and he says, "Thou couldst have no power over me at all, except it were given thee from above." What's Jesus saying? He says, "Pilate, Heaven is the authority for this trial. Heaven is in absolute control. You're only sitting talking to me because heaven gives permission. You know, there are a lot of people who want a Jesus that they can control. That's what Pilate wanted. And then we find in verse 14 that Pilate brings Jesus out again, and this time he's a little more forward with the Jewish nation. And he brings Jesus out and he says to the Jewish leaders, "Behold your king. Behold your king." And immediately the same group that shouted, "Crucify him," shouted, "We have no king but Caesar." And that was fine. It wasn't true. But that was fine, that the leaders of Israel who were against the Roman occupation should suddenly find themselves before a Roman governor saying that the only king they acknowledge is Caesar. I don't think you have to examine those remarks too deeply to realize that they were again words of convenience. But then they put the knife at Pilate's head. They tell Pilate, "If you let this man go, if you acknowledge him as a king, you've made a choice between him and Caesar. If you let this man go, you won't be Caesar's friend." You know, those are amazing words. And they're words that apply in truth today to men and women who come face to face with Jesus Christ. They very often have to choose between Christ and position and prestige in this world. In fact, they have to choose between Christ and everything that this world has to offer. If you let this man go, you can't be Caesar's friend. I remember when I came to Christ, there were three of us who were very close friends. I think the words then were that we ran together. Didn't know where we were running or what we were running from or what we were running to, but we ran together. And I remember after I got saved on the Sunday night, I remember going down to meet them on the Monday, wondering how I was going to tell them and what their response was going to be when I told them that I would no longer be running with them. You know, I find an amazing truth. When I told them I got saved, it wasn't that I didn't run with them anymore. They didn't want to run with me. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus, and they certainly didn't want anything to do with anybody who was going to have something to do with Jesus. Somebody who got saved. I remember one of them in particular made great mockery of that word. Here the word is king. And Pilate suddenly has to make a decision. Having started off to do the right thing, he suddenly has to make a decision. I either acknowledge Jesus as king, or I acknowledge Caesar as king. I either swear my allegiance to one who will be crucified, or I swear my allegiance to one who claims to rule the world. I know what he felt in his heart. I know what he really believed. But it wasn't what moved his heart in life. You see, he brings out this ceremonial basin and he puts water in it and he takes and he washes his hands and he says to them, you take Jesus and crucify him. I'm washing my hands of it. I'm taking nothing to do with it. At that very moment, his choice was made. It was against what he knew in his heart, but his choice was made. You say, preacher, how do you know what was in his heart? Well, they took Jesus out and they nailed him to the cross. Just as the Jews had told them they would at the beginning, by the way. And Pilate took a sign and he had it nailed to the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The Jewish leaders came to Pilate again and they said, That's not what we want. We would like you to take that sign down, and if you have to put anything up, put a sign up that says, he said, I am the King of the Jews. Don't you declare him, Pilate, to be the King of the Jews. You make it clear that it's his claim. Pilate looked at the Jewish leaders and he says, it will not be changed. What I have written, I have written. That's what's going to stay. Do you know why? Because Pilate knew in his heart that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Came to do what he claimed to do. And as he says earlier, out of envy they had brought Jesus that he might be put to death. He started off wanting to do the right thing about Jesus. But then he began to learn what it was going to mean. And he backed away. He began to learn what it was going to cost. And he backed away. You know, there are many people like that in the world today. I had someone tell me recently that he didn't go to church because he didn't need to, but he loved the fact that the kids went because the kids needed it. You see, Jesus was all right for the children. And I know him, and I know down in his heart it really was, they don't know any better. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. If you have a child that loves Jesus and you don't love him, the child knows better. The child knows better. You see, Jesus said one day when he was teaching, except you become as little children, you'll not believe. Except you have the faith of a little child. The absolute confidence that a child has, usually in its parents. You know, something happened that John doesn't record for us. Matthew records it in Matthew 27, that in the midst of all that was going on, in the midst of Pilate's decision-making process, a messenger came to him. Came into the judgment hall and said, Pilate, I've got a message for you from your wife. Pilate said, what's the message? He said, Pilate, the message is, don't do anything to Jesus. Have nothing to do with this just man. She'd had a revelation of who Jesus was in a dream. She was afraid that her husband was going to make a mistake. She warned him. She warned him of the danger. She warned him of the consequences. But the man who started out to do the right thing disobeyed the message, disobeyed the warning, didn't take into consideration the consequences. I mentioned children. You see, when I got saved in 1966, I was the only Christian in my home. I have a wonderful father. But when I told him that I had given my life to Jesus Christ and that Jesus was my Savior, my father mocked me. He mocked me. The wonderful brother always looked up to him. One Friday night I came home from work and there was a scurry in the home and I said, what's happening? My mom looked at me and she said, Tom's leaving. I said, Tom's leaving for where? She said, he's going to live in London, England. Why? And the words that she spoke were like a knife in my heart. He can't stand living in the same house with a Christian, with a follower of Jesus. Not easy, you know, when God saves you first in the home. I thank God my parents always sent me to Sunday school. They wanted me to believe. I thank God also that after I got saved, they got saved. One day we're going to be in glory, united in Christ. I wonder if you're in the meeting this morning and when it comes to Jesus, you really have nothing against him until it comes to claims on your life. You really don't have an opinion this way or that until you come face to face with what he says about you. What would he tell you this morning if you were face to face with him? He would tell you that the reason he allowed Pilate and the Jews to deliver him to be crucified was because he was going to die for your sins. The reason he went to the cross and suffered death was so that you might be saved. Pilate wanted to do the right thing with regard to Jesus, but he did the wrong thing. Instead of accepting him, instead of honoring him, instead of exalting him, He rejected him. He rejected all of his claims, even though he knew in his heart that Jesus was who he claimed to be and came to die for sinners just like him. Pilate, it is recorded in the Word of God for us, answered his own question. What shall I then do with Jesus? He delivered him to be crucified. What about you this morning? What shall you do with Jesus? You might say, my mom believes, but I don't. My wife believes, but I don't. My children believe, but I don't. What are you going to do today with Jesus? The same one who was face to face with Pilate, by the Spirit of God and the Word of God today, is face to face with you. Are you going to receive him? Or are you going to reject him? Are you going to turn to him for salvation?